Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this day, this Sunday, which is the second Sunday in Christmas. Also this Sunday, which is the first day of the new year, at least on the secular calendar. So we give God thanks that we are all able to be here this morning. Just like to take the time to apprise you of some upcoming events. On January the 8th, which is next Sunday, we will be having our service of ordination and installation for our incoming officer class of 2025. Please plan on joining us as we acknowledge those who have consented and who you've elected to be leaders of this congregation. So again, that will be next Sunday, January the 8th. Please make sure that you read your bulletin, and also that you stay tuned to what is happening here at Awnee Presbyterian Church by going to our webpage so that you, again, can stay abreast of what is happening in the life of this congregation.
Good morning again. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 148. In your Bibles, it's on page 546. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him. All his angels, praise him. All his host, praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you shining stars, praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them. Forever and ever, he fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth. You see monsters in all deeps, fear and hail, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping thing and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew's gospel. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of Matthew's gospel, verses 13 through 23, which is found on page 836 of your pew Bibles. But at this time, let us listen to God's word again for us. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, was in a furious rage, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus reigned over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that was spoken by the prophets, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Today, as we said earlier, is the first Sunday after Christmas, which means, according to the church calendar, we're actually still in the season of Christmas. We still have about five more days of Christmas left before the season of Epiphany, before we enter the season of Epiphany. So for those of you who still have a lot of Christmas in you, and I hope that's all of you, please party on. We still have 5 days of Christmas left. Of course, today is also New Year's Day on the secular calendar, so I congratulate all of you for being here this morning after, I'm sure, bringing in the new year last night. You know, we Christians celebrated our new year at the beginning of Advent about 30 days ago, so we are actually a little bit ahead of everyone else, as we should be. But still, New Year's Day is an important day, and I can think of no better way of celebrating the beginning of New Year than by doing what the psalmist commanded us to do this morning in that passage that Judith read, and that is to praise the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful way to begin the new year? Begin the new year praising the Lord. You know, at the end of every year, they usually have on the last day of the year, they have on television where they go back and they review the highlights of the year, all the highlights that went on. And I was just thinking of some of the highlights that went on in the year 2022, all the things that caught the news, all the things that happened around me, all the things that happened in our country, all the things that happened in the world. And sometimes when we are in the midst of it, they seem like they're difficult and difficult roads to bear, but yet we're able to look back on them and acknowledge the fact that we have made it through. And for that, we can praise the Lord. Give God praise that we have seen the year through and are able to see a whole new year. Of course, we begin every worship service here with a hymn of praise. So every time we come together to worship, we begin that worship by praising the Lord, giving praise to God. And we acknowledge, of course, too, that sometimes in the midst of all that is going on in our lives, in the midst of all that is going on in the world, that our hearts sometimes becomes dominated by our fears and our anxieties and our concerns. But we're reminded, too, that our primary posture is not to be dominated by our fears, but our primary posture is to be people who praise God, people who are constantly praising the Lord. I'm always intrigued by those glimpses of the heavenly realm that we often get in the Bible, where someone is taken to the very throne room of God and has an opportunity to see wonderful things. But one of the things that they always see in the heavenly realm, one of the things they always see in the throne room of God, is that everyone is praising God. Everyone is giving God praise. Angels are praising God. Seraphim are praising God. Elders are praising God. All kinds of creatures are praising God. Everything is praising God. So if you don't like to give God praise, you won't like going to heaven, because that's all they do in heaven is give God praise. But of course, the psalmist not only calls all of us human beings to praise the Lord, but he calls all of creation to praise the Lord. The sun, the moon, the stars, mountains, hills, trees, everything that creeps upon the face of the earth, everything that swims in the depths of the sea, everything is commanded to give God praise. Everything is called to praise the Lord. I know you're probably thinking, how in the world can the sun and the moon, how in the world can trees and mountains and inanimate objects give God praise? But I agree with Thomas Merton that when he said that everything praises God simply by being what God created it to be. The sun praises God simply by being the sun. Simply by radiating energy, by radiating power and light, simply by being the sun, it praises God. The moon praises God simply by being the moon, simply by being the light that governs the darkness, simply by being the moon, being what God created it to be, it gives praise to the Lord. A tree praises God simply by being a tree. Sometimes, especially in the summer when I'm walking down Tabor Road, I watch that great big tree that's in the yard next to the manse. And it's a rather large, powerful-looking tree, dominates the skyline. Sometimes it worries me because it's very big and its branches, you know, are hovering even over the manse, and it's a little bit concerning, but that's what it does. It is praising God simply by being a tree. And the oceans do that as well. I know some of you like the shore. Some of you have property at the shore. Maybe go down to the shore, and part of the charm of that, part of the charm of being able to go to the ocean, to see the ocean, is to see it and watch it as it is praising God. But that's what it does. The ocean praises God. It gives God praise. Everything praises God simply by being what God created it to be. And that's true for all of us as well. We human beings, we praise the Lord simply by being human. We praise the Lord simply by being the creatures that God created us to be, creatures made in the image of God, creatures who are called to reflect God's glory, creatures who praise God simply by being the human beings that we were created to be. But here's the problem, and you know that problem as well as I do. The problem is that somewhere along the way, we human beings stop being human. Somewhere along the way, we stopped being the human beings that God created us to be. Somewhere along the line, we stopped reflecting the glory of God. We stopped reflecting the image of God. We stopped being human. I know we kind of look like we're human. We kind of function like we're human, but somewhere along the way, we stopped being that. The Bible tells us that it happens because of our sins, or better yet, it happens because of our idolatry, or it happens because we've placed something at the center of our lives other than God. But whatever you want to say, however you want to characterize it, the end result is that we stop being human beings. We stop being the creatures that God created us to be. And therefore, we stop being creatures capable of praising God in the way that God wants us to praise God. That's why I believe it's important for us to hear Matthew's Christmas story. Because Matthew's Christmas story doesn't give us much room to over-sentimentalize it. You know, we have this tendency sometimes to sentimentalize Christmas, and that's okay. And if we just had Luke's gospel, that would be very, very easy to do, to sentimentalize Christmas. But Matthew's Christmas story very much reminds us pretty early on about the depths of our inhumanity. Of course, that inhumanity in Matthew's story is centered in the person of King Herod that we read, King Herod the Great. We probably know more about King Herod historically than we do about any other figure, thanks to the Jewish historian Josephus. He wrote three long chapters on King Herod, and so we know a whole lot about him. We know more about King Herod than we know about the life of Jesus. We know more about King Herod than we know about the life of John the Baptist. We know more about King Herod than we know about the life of Paul. More than any other figure, we know a great deal about King Herod. And from one perspective, Herod could be considered, or he could have been considered, a pretty good king. You know, he ruled for over 40 years. His rule was characterized pretty much by peace. There was no major uprisings, no major war. He built a number of important cities and public works. Of course, he was responsible for rebuilding the temple, temple that was considered one of the wonders of the world. That was all the handiwork of King Herod. He did all of that. He built a number of aqueducts, and he built a number of port cities. He did a number of what might be considered fairly good things. So from one perspective, he's a pretty good king. But from another perspective, he could be considered somewhat of a monster. He wasn't shy about shedding blood. He had his favorite wife killed and her mother killed. Of course, he had 10 wives, but he had his favorite one killed, and he had a number of his sons killed. Several of his uncles he had murdered. He invited a high priest down for a swim in Jericho, and somehow the high priest ended up murdered, killed. He was paranoid, insecure, jealous, power hungry. A monster, a real monster. Even the emperor himself, Emperor Augustus, said he would much prefer to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's son, because Herod was quite bloodthirsty, a real, real monster. And so when we read in the Bible that he had a number of children killed in order to eliminate this new baby boy, this new king that has come into the world, we can't believe it. Scholars sometimes tell us, well, there is no proof that the slaughter of the innocents happened. There's no real verifiable proof about it, and Josephus didn't say anything about it. But the fact of the matter is, it is consistent with what we know about Herod. He was a real monster. And so we are not surprised about what we're told in Matthew's Christmas story about what Herod did in killing the innocent children of Bethlehem. You might say that that was a long time ago. You might say that was one man, one family from one dysfunctional family, and that was a long, long time ago. But the fact of the matter is that the spirit of Herod still lives. It's still very much a part of this world. Whenever we hear of people being killed, especially children, especially the innocents, especially babies, whenever children are killed, the spirit of Herod is still strong. Whenever human beings are treated as objects, the spirit of Herod is still strong. In this world of war and violence and indifference, the spirit of Herod is still strong. Fact of the matter is that there's a little bit of Herod in all of us. There's a little bit of paranoia. There's a little bit of insecurity. There's a little bit of jealousy. There's a little bit of us that is selfish. There's a little bit of Herod in all of us. And if we allow that Herod to dominate our lives, if we allow that Herod to crowd out everything else, then we become less than the human beings that God created us to be. Whenever we allow something to dominate our hearts instead of God, God's self, whenever we put something at the center of our lives instead of God, then we become monsters, are capable of becoming monsters. I know a situation where people put profits above everything else, and when they do that, they become monsters, because it means that they'll do anything for the sake of profits. They'll treat people in any way for the sake of money. Sometimes we put other things at the center of our hearts that make us indifferent to other people, that prevent us from caring about other people. People simply become pawns, and we don't care if we treat them monstrously. We don't care what happens to them. We don't care what happens to the children. We don't care what happens to babies. We don't care what happens to the people who are the most vulnerable. We don't care, because we've allowed something else to become at the center of our hearts. And we become monstrous, less than human. I read on Christmas Day where there's a group of asylum seekers, and I don't want to get far into the politics of immigration or anything like that, but there was a group of asylum seekers, which means they were legal. Asylum seekers are legal. They're people who come into the country, they surrender themselves, and then they ask for asylum, and then they have to be processed, but they're legal until they get here. But there was a group of asylum seekers who were put on a bus from one place and bussed across the country to another place in the cold. It was cold. You remember how it was on Christmas Day, 7 degrees. It was likewise in Washington, D.C., where they were bussed to. They were cold, left out into the cold. And whatever your position might be about immigration, I think we can all agree that there's a way that we should treat people. We shouldn't treat people as objects. We should at least be a little bit humane. But that's what happens when we put something else at the center of our hearts. We stop being human. We stop being the human beings that God created us to be. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this morning, because it's this kind of world that God enters into. It's this kind of world, with all of our inhumanity, with all of the tears and the weeping, with all of the violence. It's this kind of world that God enters into. It's this kind of world that Jesus comes into. And Jesus comes into this world to save us. He comes into this world to redeem us. He comes into this world to redeem our humanity, to show us what it means to be a human being, what it really means to be creatures made in the image of God, what it really means to be creatures who reflect God's glory into the world. That's what the little bitty baby Jesus comes into the world to do. No wonder Herod wants to kill it. We don't want the light of God shining in our world. We don't want the light of God's love radiating in our world. We don't like it. We don't want it. I've discovered even sometimes many of us church people don't like it. We don't want it. We don't like the light of God's love radiating and illuminating the way we live. We don't want to be human. But that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God breaking into this world to redeem our humanity. I was reading something by Dr. Karen Westerfield Tucker. She was talking about a Christmas pageant that she saw at her church. At first, she said the pageant went the way of all childhood pageants. The Magi appeared in long robes, carrying large, expensive-looking boxes wrapped in gold and silver foil. There were shepherds in bathrobes, and they all gathered around the manger. But she said that the highlight occurred when Mary unwrapped the babe in swaddling clothes and revealed not a cuddly doll, but rather a cross. And in silence, Mary held the cross high over the manger for all to gaze upon. What a powerful symbol of Christmas. There's a wonderful hymn that is sometimes sung around Christmas time, Love Came Down. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about love coming down. It's about love coming down into the midst of this world. Love coming down into the midst of our world of war, in the midst of our world of violence, in the midst of our war of refugees fleeing from violence. In the midst of our world of people seeking asylum, in the midst of our world where there's all kinds of crime and violence, in the midst of our world where there's all kinds of inhumanity, God comes down into the midst of this world. Love comes down into the midst of the world. That's what the babe at Bethlehem means. That God comes down into the midst of our world. And the best way to understand that is in light of the cross. The cross is the symbol of God's self-giving, sacrificial love. And that's what keeps us human. Somehow, the cross has everything to do with you and I being human. Praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord. Let all the creeping things praise the Lord. And let you and me praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord, because God has given us a Savior. Let us praise the Lord. because our humanity has been redeemed in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have given us your light, shining in the midst of this darkened world. You've shown us what it means to be human. And yet we have all kinds of visions of what we think it means. We think being human is having lots of money. We think being human means being a celebrity. We think being human means being able to boss other people around. We think being human is about being able to dominate and control other people. But none of those things makes us human. They simply are the means by which we often become inhumane. We give you thanks for lighting the fire of your love inside of all of our hearts in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for helping us to be people who are able to give you praise, because you have helped us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be the human beings you created us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray here this morning. Amen.